We learned that there are thousands and thousands in the capital region. And I think we all just become so accustomed to not seeing them, you know, to looking away. It's kind of like, you know, walking by a homeless person on the street. You just, it's hard to engage. And yeah, it's painful because of the loss of potential, you know, social life, the loss of potential community. When you have a vacant building in your neighborhood, it drags down your taxes. It's a public safety and a public health hazard. So, as an architect, you really want to see them inhabited.
Adam, tell us about the design itself. Have you been working on this idea to put lights in the home and on the home and the pulsing rhythm of the lights, the breathing lights?
Well, the idea has come up in my work in the past in different ways. I had a commission years ago for the Contemporary Art Museum in St. Louis that involved an effect that like this that was created actually by televisions. And since then, I've done a few different projects, one for the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo that was a light installation, and most recently, a historical recreation that took place at Lafarge Cement Quarry down in Ravenna. That involved shoveling fire over a cliff. But in this case, this idea really came up. Barb and I came up with this idea together, and in some ways it was like a very practical way of coming up with an art project. We'd gotten rid of our own individual ideas, and then we boiled it down to what is this region known for? And the region's known for lighting technology, among other things. And what's one of its biggest problems? It's vacancy. And so we paired up the two, and they really seamlessly kind of went together. So now we're at the stage, at the very early stage, that now that we've received the grant, that the R&D work, we're beginning the R&D work with the help of General Electric and the Lighting Research Center at RPI to figure out exactly how to make the light kit for this project.
And Barbara, talk about more of the corporate involvement. You're getting $1 million from Bloomberg, but also you're getting a lot of help from others as well.
Well, the Community Foundation of the Greater Capital Region has been stellar. They're really amazing, such a professional organization. And they have reached out to their the foundations and corporations that they work with and just garnered really humbling support for this project. GE, WMHT, I shouldn't mention names because I'll forget them. I'll forget someone. But
no, RPI is a big part of this too, right?
Yes, the Lighting Research Center has already provided in-kind services. They put a whole class of a whole semester of students working on the project, developing prototypes, which was very helpful, I think, in proving the concept.
In so, my university as well, the University of Albany is also
the
helping
SUNY Foundation,
a great deal.
Really, really big. So the $1 million from Bloomberg will go primarily to the actual construction in the buildings. I mean, 300 buildings. You know, if we can, the first thing we need to do is really fine tune the cost of the buildings. The local support will go more toward the community engagement components and the really local impact. For the project.
Adam, as an artist, I know you want people, when they look at a piece of work, whether it's your work or someone else's, to feel something and to walk away from that piece of art, that installation, whatever, and make them think. What do you want people to think once they look at these homes and maybe the next day they're still thinking about it? What do you hope that they think?
Well, before they think, I hope they feel. You know, the effect that we're going to be using is very borrowed, literally from our own being. And then different forms of technology use the image of light as a breathing effect. But nothing is done on this scale. So I think it was really important that when we came up with an idea, well, first I should say that this was an art grant. Like, we were asked to make art. And so art is, I think, of the, you know, the integrity of the art is of highest priority. So I wanted with Barb and I together to come up with an idea that had a really strong visual effect to it, one in which when someone sees it, initially they're captivated by it in a way that keeps, they might not even understand why they're looking at this or why it's there in the first place. But I want them to feel the sort of presence of an entity that up until this point in time is laid dormant. So you have all these buildings, and the buildings act as these spaces of potential energy. But when they're all boarded up and they're dark, they seem dead. So when you have hundreds of these that are illuminated throughout three cities, what I hope it's going to start to reference is a sort of life force that exists beneath the entire region that's coming up through these buildings. And so I hope what someone feels is a sort of force that's greater than themselves, that's currently laying dormant but has potential.
It's called breathing lights, which would indicate they're still alive. They may look dead. They may be on life support. They're still alive. They're still breathing. Give them a chance. Let's move in here and give them some medicine and boost them back to life. Is that it?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you know, the project has the ability to produce a lot of wonderful byproducts, and one of which may be that occupancy rates will increase. Of course, there's no way that we can predict that, but we hope that simply by drawing attention to these buildings and creating this effect in them, if nothing else, attention will be garnered towards this issue.
Barbara, you mentioned there, unfortunately, are a lot of abandoned buildings in the Albany-Schenectady-Troy area. How do you select the buildings that will be part of this project?
Well, we'll develop a criteria. We're going to need buildings that are available to us. That we have three land banks in the three cities that own some buildings. The cities own some buildings. The counties own some buildings. We may have to reach out to private owners as well. But we'll select buildings which are safe enough to enter, buildings that are marketable, you know, that mm-hmm. are not necessarily slated for demolition, but buildings where we want people to consider being the life, you know, that continues in them. The security of them, the safety, you know, many of them won't have any power. Many of them are boarded windows. So our construction kit and our light kit are going to have to address a number of things that are of permanent impact to the building. So though the light exhibit itself, the installation is temporary. We expect that some of the dollars we spend installing that will benefit the building as well, so that the next owner.
Adam, will each building get a different set of lights? For instance, would you light up an old vacant church or an old vacant factory different than you would an old apartment building?
Well, no, they're all going to be illuminated in the same way. But for instance, if you were to take a two-story, you know, brick home, let's say it has eight windows or five windows, all of them are going to breathe with the same, at the same rate, at the same time, with the same intensity. So what it appears is if there's like a light source, a sun that's breathing within that building and coming out equally through all the windows. So every building will have that effect, but every building will have its own breath and its own rate. So if there are three buildings on a street that happen to be breathing, they're all breathing at They all have their own breath in a way, so that each one becomes a separate organism. I think our interest is primarily to focus on vacant homes. And I think because, I think the issue of how it connects with neighborhoods, how it connects with the community, how people who may be interested in these places see it, I think it's very important to keep it on that level. So as grandiose as it would be to illuminate all the vacant churches in the region, that's a different project.
Yeah.
And Barbara, one more question. What do you hope happens once these lights come down? This is a temporary installation. It will all be unplugged and taken away mm-hmm. one day. What do you hope happens once that happens?
Well, I think initially, I think there will be a sense of loss, because I think we're all going to just fall in love with this concept. What will happen leading up to the lighting exhibit is as important. There will be a lot of community engagement, community art programs, participatory education programs about renovating buildings, really getting the communities engaged so that this light which breathes from within is really an exhibit of the light force of the community. So that not only is this building been in a state of limbo, But the community is behind it. The community believes in it. So then after the lights go out, we expect those communities will benefit from the aftermath. We're going to have a finale event in the spring of 2017 where we bring the three cities together in one location for an all-day conference, if you will, and we're going to have art exhibitions and youth media video presentations, policymakers talking about, you know, how to free up these buildings for marketing, architects, urban planners, artists. So we're very excited about the aftermath.